The Roving Microphone brings you the day in the life of a cycling pastor. Meet Randall Bertrand, Wood Grove Brethren Christian Parish, Hastings, Michigan, for conversation and fitness inspiration. Here we are on the grounds of your home away from home, and I'm calling you a cycling pastor, a cycling servant. Why would I call you that?
Well, it's a very good point, because I would prefer to be called that than a pastor who cycles, because it's interesting. We have mandated boundary training, and it's just to remind us of the ethics of our calling and to be healthy in our relationships with our people, which is critical. And it always comes at a time where I'm like, oh, I got 1,001 things to do. I really don't wrestle with any of these issues. But every time I go, I just get some golden wisdom from that experience. And one of our trainings, the speaker said, I'd like you all to introduce yourselves. And we all said our name and then the church we pastored. And he said, that's interesting, and that's what you do, but it's not healthy only to be identified with your calling. There should be other aspects to who you are, so you don't just get into this theological religious bunker. So to be a cycling pastor is a very healthy thing, and it's a good title, and I'll take that gladly.
Well, here we are in your office. It's just important. But I'm looking outside, and there's your road bike.
Yeah, I'm actually quite blessed. My people are wonderful, hardworking people in my congregation, and they're of generous heart and spirit, and they understand how important cycling is to me. And they also, not just from a health standpoint, but also from a spiritual and emotional standpoint. And they're very liberal with their willingness to allow me to exercise my calling. And if it involves transportation and I can do it on my bicycle, they're all about it. So
I'm going right to the question. Do you ride your bike to a Sunday morning service?
No. There is a joy, and I think a truth and an honesty that comes with arriving on a bicycle wherever you go, because it demonstrates a commitment and a purpose. If you got there on your bicycle, it required more than just sitting in a comfortable seat in your car and pushing down the gas pedal. And if you show up to speak to a group or to connect with a group, and you've arrived there on your bike, there has to be an awareness that you intended to get there, and you exercise some amount of energy and discipline to get there. So I don't come on Sunday mornings, but I'll go most anywhere else on my bike.
Well, you rode here for our purposes. Before I have you take me on a tour of your insides, and then we're going to go out to that cycle, what is the day in the life of a servant of Christ?
Wow. I wear a lot of hats. I am the single full-time staff here. We have a membership of about 100. We average in worship about 70 each Sunday. And again, my people are very hardworking. They don't call on me unless they truly need me. We pretty much keep drama to a minimum unless it's necessary, and it arrives in daily life. There are times people, will need me. It's not always at the most convenient time. It's not always something I can schedule. So what I like to say is, what I love about my calling is that my schedule is extraordinarily flexible. But probably the biggest challenge of my calling is that my schedule is extraordinarily flexible. So it is difficult to kind of look and say, this day I'm going to do. I have a routine to make sure that I'm prepared for worship that I try to execute. But of course, there's going to be those emergencies or those difficult things that do arise. This Tuesday, we just said goodbye to just a beautiful spirit here at our church. Had just a wonderful memorial recognizing this incredible lady's life. And you get home from that, and your wells, had a lot of buckets dropped in it, and your heart and souls come out of that. And my wife was here also doing, she does our media program here, and she was really stretched and did a beautiful job. She went home early. I got home late, and she said, I am so sorry, but she hit the answering machine, and there was a request for another memorial, which will be tomorrow, another just beautiful young life that we're going to have to say goodbye to. So there's the joy of serving a wonderful group of people, and then comes the emotion. And that's a little extraordinary. I don't face that every week, but there are those kind of challenges that do come with it. So it's never off your mind. It's 24/7, 365 calling. people just think 20 minutes on Sunday. Wow, what job could be easier than that? And if you're being called to the ministry, whoo, jump in, the water's warm, but bring your A game because you can't bluff it.
Ah, the sanctuary. Now, is that your pulpit?
That is the pulpit, yes. And before I stood behind it, I had good mentoring pastors. My wife and I and family have been attending here since 92. My wife and I were married right here on this platform in 93. And then I answered the call to be pastor here 10 years ago. So, yep, this is the sanctuary. Lots of history, lots of Holy Spirit moving, lots of joy. Lots of laughter, lots of tears shed as well. All the things that come with life kind of center here in our quest to draw closer to God.
What's the building itself? What's the history, you know?
Our church was actually chartered in 1875. So, again, a lot of rich history in this place. Adorning our walls are the work of our lady quilters.
Okay.
In an attempt to make, it's a very live sound sanctuary because it was obviously constructed long before electrical systems were considered for microphones and things, and which has its pluses and minuses. But as hearing gets to be a challenge for some of our older members, we were recommended to put soft surface wherever we could.
Yeah.
So we activated the artistry of our quilting ladies, and we have a rotation of different quilts that will be on display in the sanctuary, just recognizing as we're created in the image of the Creator, those things that we create honor Him. So we recognize that work here with the quilts.
So do we find our same spot in the pew every Sunday?
For the most part, we got folks that kind of have a comfortable spot, but every now and then they'll curveball me and I'll have people shuffle around a little bit and I'll start doing my mental check as I'm sharing. I'll be like, wait a minute. Hey, John and Char moved over here this week. So we're a pretty flexible group. We're not too stodgy. If we got new folks come and they might grab our spot, we're good to find another one if we need to.
How important is music in your day and in the in your group's day?
Worship is not really complete without that element, and I am blessed with a music director. Celia can play almost any instrument under the sun. If someone says, "Hey, could we sing this?" You can see her going through her mental Rolodex, turning the pages of the sheet music, and then she'll just start playing it. She plays the piano, she plays the trumpet, she plays the organ, she can also play the accordion. Yeah, all kinds of, and yeah, we've got a neat worship group.
And what about ministering to the youth?
For 8 years, I rode past the Hastings Skate Park, and God said, "There's your youth group," when I was working in other jobs. And as soon as I got hired here, my first board meeting, I said, every Wednesday night, I'm going to the Hastings Skate Park. I'm going to grill hot dogs and serve pop to those kids. That's going to be my youth group. And they're basically like, "You're stark raving mad." And I thought so too, but it wasn't my idea. It was God's idea. The first night we went in there, grilled hot dogs, this wild character sitting on top of the half pipe comes down and he says, "What you doing?" I said, "I'm grilling hot dogs. You want one for free?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely." He eats three hot dogs, and he says, "You're restoring my faith in humanity one hot dog at a time." And I was like, we're in. You know, I thought it was going to take a couple years to develop street cred. You know, I come in, I'm an old road cyclist. I roll in on my bike. They're on skateboards, BMX bikes, scooter, you know. And just the truth of God saying, you need to be there. So actually, we don't have a huge youth group here. We don't have a youth group here. But those are my people. Those are my youth. And they climb in your heart and stay there. And our church has been a wonderful outreach, you know, a connection with those kids in pure honesty. It's not like, oh, they're a ministry. No, they're people that we love, and they're as much a part of our heart as anybody here.
So let's take the microphone outside to the cycle. Can you actually ride to work?
It's a 13.5-mile round trip. So I ride out here every chance I get that I need to be out here. Or if I need to go visit members of my congregation, I'll go put miles in on the bike. And it's kind of neat because I get paid mileage. So
you know, my dream was always to, you know, race in the Tour de France. But after I turned 50, I realized they hadn't lost my invitation to ride with a pro tour team in the mail, that I'm probably just not that good.
Do you have a couple of different bikes? Yeah, that's funny. This is a road bike, right? It looks like, here, let's describe it. I mean, yeah, it's your basic riding bike, right?
It's a cyclocross bike. I just have touring tires on presently, okay, because I do most of, I use it mainly on the road or dirt road. Okay. I raced that in Paris-Roubaix, the big race in Hastings. I raced that 2 years ago. And it's a pretty much do-it-all bike. If I had to choose one from my arsenal, that would be the one, because it does everything pretty well. It's not a mountain bike. It's not a pure road bike, but it's a good all-arounder.
Now, do you have to tie it to the tree? Nobody's going to steal your bike, are they?
Not out here. You know, there's an honesty about showing up in Lycra and spandex, because you just can't hide anything there, but you don't always like to show up like you're just completing a stage race. So I'll usually throw on a pair of baggies, maybe have my riding shorts underneath them, you know, comfortable t-shirt, something of that nature. But if I'm hitting out the big road, I always have my helmet, you know, wear my cycling gloves, things of that nature.
Let's go see you in action. Take a spin for me.
Be safe now, cycling pastor!
Let's just say a wonderful ride, and it keeps your heart in shape, plus I guess your mind, body, and soul as well. But I mean, cycling is part of a lifestyle for you and a hobby, shall we say?
Yeah, I don't think it's a coincidence that the guys who mastered powered flight were bicycle mechanics. When I got out of college, I wrenched at a really nice shop in Syracuse, and I've always maintained my own bikes, and I just find a real catharsis, just a real healing in working on the restoration of bicycles. And
restoration mean rebuilding, you know?
Yeah, basically whatever it requires. I've had bikes delivered to me in all manner of disrepair. I received back a number of years ago my brother's original 1968 orange crate. And if you're ever familiar with that, it had the 5-speed the stick shift on the top tube.
Bicycle?
Yep, it was the top of the heap. They call them muscle bikes because they were designed after the muscle cars of the 60s to represent certain features of that era. And they've become highly collectible. And lo and behold, I had a dream that I found one. And when I mentioned that on Facebook, the person who had received my brother's bike way back in the day contacted me. He says, I still have that bike.
Oh my gosh.
As it turns out, I was competing at an event down in Ohio, 12-hour time trial, Calvin's Challenge. Another one of our mutual friends came out to support me in that and brought me the bike. And what ensued was just months of sitting down every morning before I started my, you know, official calling, and I'd sit with steel wool and I'd polish the old parts, and I just brought that bike back to life, and it was so rewarding. I just would make mention of that, post pictures of it on social media, and then I would be asked, hey, could you help me with, would you be interested in assisting in other bicycle restorations? And it's kind of extraordinarily rewarding to see the look on people's face when that instrument of freedom, I mean, we all remember that moment when we got up on two wheels and suddenly the whole world opened up to us.
Still does.
Right. And then to be part of somebody realizing the joy of seeing that bike come back to life is extremely rewarding. And that component of restoration is not, that's what I do. My goal is to, you know, restore us into a oneness with God. And when I'm in the middle of these, you know, I'll spend hours at my repair stand, and that will be meditative. That'll be prayerful. That'll be considering to see this come back to life. I think of all those people who need a word of prayer, who need, that kind of support. And I can achieve that, in the midst of restoring this this particular bike that I may be working on.
Well, as I look to say our goodbyes in this day of a life of a cycling pastor, I mean, tell us about the calling. Tell us about the journey that you are on in life, this gift that you've been given.
It is indeed a gift, because you won't find anything more rewarding if you've been called. And there are people who, and I admire what you do, you know, just knowing about, you know, your connection with so many people and the lives that you get to touch. So I don't diminish what anybody else does in living a life that examples the Christ, because you all can touch lives that I can't. So my calling is a powerful one, and there is a real responsibility that comes with it. But I was asked on a Wednesday night working with our kids in the skate park, one of the kids came and says, "What do you do?" And I was like, I didn't see that coming. So I start going down, well, you know, every I have to prepare a message. So I spend a lot of time in God's word. I produce the bulletin and choose the hymns so they make sense with the message. And I coordinate that with my worship team. And my wife's just sitting down on the cooler shaking her head. And she's like, "Wow, you just missed it." I got home and I'm like, I did, because that doesn't encompass what I do. And I'm laying in bed and I'm asking, I'm just in communion with God. And I'm like, you know, boy, I dropped the ball on that. And he said, "Next time you're asked that, tell that person in the skate park that that spirit that they feel when they're 6 feet off the ground throwing down a 360 on their freestyle bike is me, and it is your job to introduce them to me." Wow. Where were you 6 hours ago? I really could have used that. it is my desire to just introduce people to the kind of freedom we feel when we get up on two wheels for the first time. And just let them get up on their own spiritual wheels for the first time on two. It's not my responsibility. It's just my job to maybe plant a seed or introduce them to the spirit that can make that so real to them and experience the joy of that in their lives.
Day in the life of a cycling pastor. Thank you, Randall Bertrand, on behalf of your service to your community.